So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Greetings and salutations, my friends. It's Tommy Freedom back for another 30 minutes of Freedom Rings. I hope y'all are doing well, and I hope you had a good week. I know mine was certainly better than the week before. My goodness, I shared that with you last week, how horrible that was. But this week was fairly uneventful, which is always good. So I'm going to start out here talking about this whole Greenland thing. Now, I know people are saying things from both sides here. Donald Trump is catching a lot of flack. A lot of people are making fun of the guy. Well, just think here. What if Obama or Hillary Clinton had suggested this idea instead of Donald Trump? Would there be all this hubbub about it? I seriously doubt it. This is not the first time that this idea has been brought forth. In fact, Harry Truman tried to buy Greenland for, I think it was $100 million, in gold, not in cash, but in gold, right after World War II. It's not a new idea. I mean, even Secretary of State William Seward tried to buy it back when he picked up Alaska back in the 1800s. Now, the U.S. Virgin Islands were purchased as recently as 1917 from Denmark. Now, so Denmark has sold us stuff before, and we only paid $25 million for it in 1917, which in today's money is just under $600 million, roughly what Donald Trump offered them for Greenland. Now, the reason that we picked up the U.S. Virgin Islands in the first place was in case Germany invaded Denmark. If they had gotten a hold of Denmark and gone in, they would have gotten all their territory. It would have been very easy then for them to have been just off the shore of the United States, just like the Soviet Union had Cuba. Would have been very, very disastrous for us. So Denmark was more than willing to let us have it for a paltry $25 million. Now, Alaska was bought from Russia in the 1800s, like I said before. And Greenland is 3,000 miles from the east coast of the United States. It's only a five-hour flight from New York City, and kind of just like Los Angeles is to Alaska. So this puts it in a region that's really similar to Alaska. It's just off the east coast. So it would serve the same purposes as Alaska. First of all, it's a strategic location. We have Thule Air Force Base in northern Greenland for the same reason that we have Air Force bases up in Alaska. But this is actually further north. And it's funny, back in 1988 when I was 19, I was looking going into the Air Force through Project Bootstrap, where I would come out with rank and pay of first lieutenant. I just wasn't ready to join the military at that point, and I realized later on it was not for me anyway. But what point I'm making here is that the recruiter asked me, you know, if I had any place that I'd like to be stationed. And I, of course, you know, I guess everybody says Hawaii or the Philippines or someplace that's tropical, and of course I don't like that. I said, do you have anything north of the Arctic Circle? And he got this really funny look on his face, and he said, yeah, Thule. So that's how I first learned about Thule. But it's pretty much it's identical to Alaska. It's just in the East Coast. So where was I on my notes here? Oh, yeah. You've got just a huge wealth in minerals there. Now, you know, they are buried. But most notably, what you've got there is rare earth. And right now, China controls about 95% of the planet's rare earth. So it will be good to get that. Additionally, Greenland just opened 3 new airports, and that's going to allow bigger planes to land. See, right now, there are no direct flights to Greenland. You've got to go to Iceland, or you got to go to Europe and then fly back. It's stupid. You got to fly over the place and fly back to it. So that way there, they would have direct flights in the not-too-distant future directly from North America, which would be good. Now, if the United States did purchase it, that would definitely happen. We would definitely have direct flights to one of our territories. So Greenland is actually trying to replicate what happened in Iceland with American tourism, because everybody goes to Iceland, nobody goes to Greenland. So they're trying to gain that. But as I said, Greenland is closer than Iceland, so that would take a lot of tourism away from Iceland and put it over into Greenland. And it's actually closer to the East Coast than Alaska is by probably 3,000 or 4,000 miles. So people wanting to see the same thing, the northern lights, the scenery, all that kind of stuff, could go there instead a lot quicker. So it would essentially give us two Alaskas with almost identical resources and strategic purposes. So it makes all the sense in the world. Now, Greenland essentially governs itself, and there are some decisions that are made in Denmark, but it's already functioning sort of like an autonomous state. Now, the only difference if we bought it would be the national flag, and they would get a few more freedoms out of the thing. So it would already be set up like a state. It would be very easy to transition. Now, I know they are loyal to Denmark and all that, but hey, the people in Greenland love America. They love the Americans, and I really don't think that they would be too terribly upset if they voted on this. So if we added this as a U.S. territory, it would be a very good acquisition. And in all honesty, I'd rather have that than Puerto Rico, you know, as far as it becoming a state. It's got better resources, it's got better economics, and pretty much, if not everyone in Greenland speaks English, unlike Puerto Rico. So that makes it an ideal candidate to become the 51st state, not Puerto Rico. Now, this is all speculation. You know, would that actually happen? You know, probably not. But again, this is the third president who's brought this forward. And eventually, somebody may actually say yes. Greenland is already an important ally to the United States. So this is an idea that should not only be pursued by Trump, but down the road by some of his successors. It's certainly worth a try. Now, Greenland has been owned by Denmark for about 300 years, I think, and it made more sense then to be owned by Denmark than it does now. With the European Union expanding and all that, back then, you still had all these countries going to war with each other, so being an outpost, essentially, they needed protection from another country. So they really don't need that anymore. And it costs Denmark almost $700 million a year to maintain. I mean, that's a lot of money for a little country like that, but it's pretty much a drop in the bucket for us, and it would be well worth the investment. Now, we all know that the Alaskan purchase was very unpopular at the time. In fact, it was called Seward's Folly. And as I said earlier, he tried to buy Greenland at the same time. He actually wanted to buy everything that he could up there. And just imagine, you know, if we could have gotten Alaska, Greenland, and Canada all at the same time, good God, we would have an awesome country right now. But Greenland, you know, if it were purchased under Trump, I'm sure it would be called Trump's Folly at first, but I'm sure that in the long run, it would prove to be a wise decision, just as Alaska was, or the Louisiana Purchase. It would be unpopular for a lot of people, considering our deficit of $22 trillion, but then again, $700 million to buy this thing is nothing compared to what this country spends annually. And that's only a fraction of what was just allocated by Congress for the U.S.-Mexican border wall. And additionally, it could be used, if you took all the profits that were made there, to go towards the national debt. You know, that would definitely be a wise move if it could be accomplished. Now, currently, Greenland is under a lot of ice, and it's up to 8,000 feet deep in some places. There's no roads connecting any of the towns together, and there are only two functioning mines right now. I think one of them is for rubies, and the other one, something out of there that they use in fiberglass. I don't know if it's what they spin into the fiberglass, but that's all I know. I wasn't able to get a whole lot of information on there. So right now is really the time to buy it. You know, you want to come in and get it before it gets developed. I mean, this is a classic monopoly move, folks. I mean, Greenland is called Greenland for a reason. It used to be much warmer and greener than it is now. And as the ice continues to melt, it will once again become a green land to use for agricultural and mining purposes. And I also bet there's probably substantial quantities of oil and natural gas underneath there as well. So definitely something to look into. I mean, the man is not an idiot. This was a strategic move if it could have been pulled off, and it may still, but damn smart move. So, I mean, really, could the U.S. just go in and buy Greenland like a piece of vacation property? Well, yes and no. Yes, if both Greenland and Denmark agree to it. Now, they don't at this point, as I explained earlier, so right now, the answer is no. But like I said, the U.S. has a great relationship with Greenland, so we will continue to benefit from them even if we don't buy it. It's imperative that China doesn't get a foothold in Greenland, folks. I'm sure that was another reason for Trump offering it. Now, Greenland is most likely going to try and become independent at some point, and it'll fail. They just cannot sustain themselves. Like I said, they only have two mines, not a whole lot of agricultural stuff going on, no agricultural development, and the tourism right now isn't very good. So they would not be able to sustain themselves. So at that point, if they did go independent and weren't able to sustain themselves, then we could probably very easily make that acquisition and bring them in as a territory and hopefully at some point as a state. Now, I said before that Seward had tried to buy everything he could. I'm not positive if he tried to buy Canada at the time or not, but you know, just think of this. You know, Canada should really look into merging with the United States. There would be no Canadian economy if it were not for us. I mean, we essentially prop them up. That's why most Canadians live within 90 miles of the U.S. border. Now, there's a few exceptions like Edmonton and the Canadian Maritimes, which, if you're not familiar, the Canadian Maritimes are New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, Prince Edward Island, and Newfoundland, which also includes Labrador. Not a whole lot of people in Labrador, but what I'm saying is the Canadian Maritimes are kind of like a big chunk on the end where it goes a little bit further inland because of the seafaring that they have. And if we did absorb them, if they merged with us, their taxes would certainly decrease, their liberties would increase, and they would have no more allegiance to the ugly Queen of England. I mean, if nothing else, I mean, just merge with us to get her off of your money, you know? I mean, she's on all their money. But, I mean, take a look at Canadian taxes. They've got an income tax right now. It's currently 33%, and it's never been lower than 29%. And on top of that, you have provincial sales tax and government sales taxes. I think it's like 20%, and combined, I don't know what that comes out to. But by the time you get done with it, you've spent close to two-thirds of your paycheck on taxes in Canada. It's horrible. I mean, that's socialism for you, folks. You know, why do you think so many Canadians move to the United States? I mean, really, other than the Vietnam draft dodgers, how many Americans actually move there? I mean, there's a reason for it. Like I said, Canada really doesn't have a whole lot going on for it as a country. It's a huge country without a whole lot of money coming in. That's why so many people live so close to the border, because they're actually relying on American dollars coming across the border. The only exceptions that I know of, outside of, say, fishing on the coasts, are the diamond mines and the oil sands. That's really what's keeping Canada afloat at this point. If it were not for them, they would be in a dire predicament themselves. So they may one day actually merge with the United States. It would be beneficial for both of us. So I'm at a convenient spot here where I can take a break. When I come back, I'm going to get into some of this climate change crap, and I don't want to take a break in the middle of what I'm talking about. So I'm going to take a quick break. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. Let's talk about this huge hoax that we know of as climate change. Be right back.
Hey, 30 years. From now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line.
Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase, minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Georgetown law professor Lewis Michael Seidman says that the U.S. Constitution is archaic and downright evil. And people like this are teaching in America's law schools? It's frightening. Well, here's your chance to listen to one attorney who stands on principle and fights for the dreams of freedom-loving Americans. Listen to Jason Robb, host of Cross Examine, each week right here on KKK Radio.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Well, I figured cars was a proper bumper to use as an introduction to this next segment, since cars are supposedly killing us all with this global warming and everything that they're putting out into the atmosphere, all that evil CO2. Well, have you ever stopped to think just how much carbon dioxide is actually in our atmosphere? Well, there's about 78% of our atmosphere is made up of nitrogen. That's the predominant gas that we are breathing. Oxygen, there's about 21%, and then argon is 0.9%. Now, the rest of our atmosphere is made up of traces that are a lot less than that. So, where does that actually leave the evil CO2? Well, carbon dioxide only constitutes 0.3% of the Earth's atmosphere, and of that, 97% is natural CO2. And that comes from volcanic eruptions, forest fires, exhaled breath, things along those lines. Only 3% of the carbon dioxide that's in the atmosphere is caused by human actions or interactions. And some of that would be from coal plants, cars, natural gas for heating and cooking, things along those lines. So if I've done my math correctly, 3% of 0.3% is 0.009%. At least that's what my calculator says. So that's 9,000ths. Let me try that again. 9,000ths of 1% of our atmosphere is made up from man-made CO2. So that's 12 parts per million, or approximately 1/83,000ths of the atmosphere. And that's all been accumulating since the 1500s. Yeah, the past 150 years or so, the past 100 years, we put out a little bit more. But still, 1/83,000ths of the Earth's entire atmosphere? That's not a carbon footprint. That's not even a flea's footprint. And this proves, once again, And all this man-made climate change is a hoax. And it's not even just a hoax, it's an outright lie. Water vapor is the biggest greenhouse gas that we have. It's 95% of the cause of the greenhouse effect. That's what keeps us nice and toasty. It's water vapor, not CO2. And there is no way to control that. And it's all natural. Nothing we can do about it. But going back to the carbon dioxide. Now, out of those numbers, how much of that man-made CO2 is actually caused by all of us here in the United States? Keep in mind here, 1/83,000th of the atmosphere all over the Earth from all the contributed CO2, okay? So the U.S. puts out annually approximately 7 billion tons. Globally, it's about 40 billion tons. So we're only putting out 17.5% of all the evil CO2 that's caused by human beings. The majority of the pollution on this planet is coming from China and India and third world countries, but predominantly China. It's not coming from us. You know, China didn't stop making coal-fired steam engine locomotives until 1983, folks. That was when the last one rolled off the assembly line. They're the largest consumers of coal in the world, and all of their power plants are coal-fired. I don't know of a single nuclear-fired plant in China. I mean, there may be, but I'm not aware of one. And how many hydro plants do they have? I mean, other than Three Gorges, I can't think of one. We aren't responsible for this, even if it were real, which it's not. So let me get back to the numbers here. What is the U.S. percentage of the man-made CO2 on this planet? 0.0054%. Or, you're going to love this, 0.0540% All right, that's less than 0.0005%. That is, I mean, that's less than 2 parts per million. All right, now divide that by 300 million people in this country, and you get 3 parts per 5 trillion. I think. You know, my calculator won't go that high, so I had to do smaller numbers and then add some zeros. If you're good with math, and I'm not, and I've gotten this wrong, let me know. But I think it is. So either way, this just shows how preposterous this whole idea really is. Now, if the numbers are correct, and you took 1/3 of all the grains of sand in the entire Sahara Desert, you and I would each be responsible for only one single grain. Now, Sahara Desert is a big place, folks, so let me put this into perspective for you, okay? If you had a dune field the size of 2 Alaskas, or roughly 1/2 of the contiguous United States, you and I would each only be responsible for a single grain of sand. Now, let's say my math was off by 50%. That's still a desert the size of friggin' Alaska or 2 Texases put together. So the absurdity of these carbon dioxide claims is absurd. You know, I've said before that there are 2 reasons why we're getting warmer: continental shift or drift, and solar maximums and minimums. Now, you remember how everything, the global cooling back in the 70s, the glaciers were coming, we were all going to freeze over, and now it's global warming. Well, guess what, folks? It's about to start cooling off again, and there's nothing we can do about it. Not then, not now. And they're still going to try and blame it all on global warming, though, even though it's only 34 degrees. Even, you know, if it were only 34 degrees in June, it would still be the... Oh, you know, speaking of that, on July 5th in 1996, I had to wear a flannel shirt to work. I was driving for a lumber yard, and I remember the 5th of July coming to work wearing a flannel shirt. It was only 52 degrees on July 5th, so what was up with that? Now, there's a Dr. Nils Axel Mörner of Stockholm, Sweden, who is, this guy's got tons of credits to his name. He is one of the world authorities on sea levels, and he used to be on the UN Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. That's a mouthful. Now, he says that, I'm just going to call it the UN panel, is misleading the public on climate change and sea levels. And in fact, there's a new period of cooling that's not too far off. And he said that he tried to warn the UN about this and that they were publishing false information. He told them that it would eventually be discredited, as we're now starting to see it happening, but they ignored him. And as a result, he resigned and decided to blow the whistle on all this stuff. Now, the UN knows all of this, and they perpetuate it to serve the New World Order. Now, by hyping climate change, they force sovereign nations to comply and submit to New World Order rules. You can't control everyone else if the United States is violating these rules. All the lefties know that this is contrived. It's all part of the bigger plan. Now, Barack Hussein Obama and his transsexual husband Michael, if you've heard, folks, just bought a 29-acre estate on Martha's Vineyard for around $15 million. And this thing is right on the beach. Now, he knows what's going on. If he really thought the oceans were rising, he'd have never bought this thing. But, I mean, then again, Hank Johnson knows something about islands, doesn't he? I mean, since it's an island, it'll float when the sea levels rise, right? You remember him talking about Guam tipping over? You got it, George? Folks, if you haven't heard this, you will not believe how stupid this guy is.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
Yep, that is Hank Johnson convinced that the island of Guam was going to tip over if we moved all the military onto one side. But, I mean, that's the mentality of the left, folks. And that's why we're never going to be able to convince them of any of this stuff. I mean, they honestly believe this drivel. You got a U.S. representative who actually thought Guam was going to tip over if we moved our troops to one side of the island. I mean, he really thought the islands float. I mean, aren't the continents just really big islands anyway? So if that's the case, hallelujah, the problem's solved. The sea level will never change. God bless you, Hank. I feel so much better now, you moron. But, I mean, that's just what we're up against, folks. So what really does control the climate here on Earth? Well, it's the sun. And there's nothing that we can do to change that. Now, we've been in a solar maximum, and we're now approaching what's known as a solar minimum. As hot as it's been, we're soon going to begin to see cooling on an equal scale. And we've seen it before. There's nothing that we can do to even begin to stop this. I mean, only human ignorance can think that we can change this planet. Only human ignorance could think we can stop solar cycles from affecting this planet. It's been going on for billions of years, and only human ignorance could think that we could change that. So instead of wasting money on electric cars and solar power, we should be focused on agriculture that favors cooler crops like winter wheat and constructing greenhouses on a massive scale to prepare for our needs in the coming decades when it does cool. We've been at a rare point in history, folks. The entire globe is warm, so savor it while you can. You know, I love having palm trees and bananas in my yard here in North Carolina, but it's not going to last. In 50 years, those palms are probably going to be replaced by white pines or balsam firs. My jungle will become part of a boreal forest. You know, Charlotte will look more like Pittsburgh or even Albany, New York. And that's going to be the new norm. And all of those libs will be blaming all this on the particulates left over from us burning coal that have now blocked out the sun, and we'll be living in a post-fossil fuel winter, the new apocalypse, if you will. Greenland will be buried under miles of ice. Sea levels will have dropped by hundreds of feet to dangerous and unsustainable levels, exposing millions of square miles of new land, and it will still be Donald Trump's fault. Well, on that note, I am out of time. So if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings. As always, if you got something to say, any questions, anything you want me to cover, by all means, let me know. So until next week, my friends, stay informed, stay awake, stay free, please stay alive, and whatever you do, stay tuned, because I'll be back the same time next week. It's been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.